This is China Business Cast, a weekly discussion from the front lines of business in China. We're here to get detailed and get personal with experienced entrepreneurs making things happen in China. If you want to learn from on-the-ground accounts of how business actually gets done, this is the program for you. Hello and welcome to China Business Cast. I'm your host, JP. Today, we're having a conversation with Michael Michelini. Michael left his job on Wall Street in 2007 and came to China. He's currently the co-founder and CEO of Social Agent, an online tool that helps businesses leverage Chinese social media for sales. We're going to find out how he was accepted to China Accelerator, a premier tech incubator in China, how he was able to put together a team for a tech startup even though he doesn't code. We're also going to talk about the lay of the land for Chinese social media and the opportunities that exist there. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm great, JP. How are you?
Good. Great to have you on the show. So tell us a little about your background. What is your China story? Why did you come here and how did you get here?
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to believe it, but it's been 6 years. I came at the end of 2007, like many Americans or Western entrepreneurs. You know, I always saw China as a huge market, and all the products I was selling online seemed to be coming from China. And, you know, I just came for a trip here in trade shows, Canton Fair, Hong Kong Fair, went through Beijing, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Shenzhen. It was just a really overwhelming experience, and there's a lot more to do, and I'm still nowhere near done with my six years later.
Yeah, take us back to 2007 when you just got here, when you had your feet on your ground. Like, what was it like then, and what was on your mind, and what were you working on at the time?
So I think, like many listening, I read the 4-Hour Workweek a couple of times. And I left my job in early 2007. I didn't move to China right away. I spent some time in San Diego with a friend at their apartment and was working online. I was doing e-commerce. Those follow my blog, I sold bar supplies almost 8 years. Started selling online in 2004 on eBay while I was still working in New York City and Wall Street as a part-time, just learning how to get multiple streams of cash flow you know, I just kept growing that business and learning as I went, and it led me to China.
Okay, great. And I understand now that you've recently graduated from one of the premier technology incubators, China Accelerator, and you're working on a social media product, but that's a recent project. What happened between the time, you know, when you were working on sourcing and e-commerce, between that time and your latest venture? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I think 2010 was kind of like my the year of my change. 2010 was, I also believe, an interesting year for China. But costs in China have been increasing pretty rapidly. As the economy grows, as the Chinese yuan or the RMB increases to the dollar, as labor costs, raw materials costs were increasing. I kind of found my skill was not in the sourcing of the products, but in the marketing and selling. My skill has always been on the web marketing, SEO. I came to China originally because I thought there would be the magic factory that had every product I wanted. I would just be able to sell it directly. But I realized my skill was in the actual marketing and the sales. 2010 was the year that I actually took some time in the Philippines and Thailand, and I learned that when I came back to China at the end of 2010, that it would be to do sales and marketing, not to do sourcing.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot about the increase in prices and also even the trend of insourcing, right? Taking things that were originally outsourced in China and then bringing it back to the US, and it does seem like that is the trend. That transitions well to our next topic, which is your current company leveraging the opportunities on Chinese social media. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So my newest venture is Social Agent, and it's a tool to help businesses sell in the Chinese market.
we've been using the lean startup method as much as possible. So by being lean, it doesn't just mean eating instant noodles. We listen closely to our customers. And what we've learned is clients have trouble managing Chinese sales workers. And so we said earlier on the call, more and more companies need to not just buy from China, but sell to the Chinese market. That is very difficult. I think the reason I came to China was to buy, which is already hard enough to negotiate with factories, but to sell to the Chinese consumer is even harder. So with our tool, we find potential clients in the Chinese market through social media, and we add them to our lead management tool to help you assign them to different sales staff so that you can see what they're actually doing and measure the results on social media.
Cool. And I understand you went through the incubator China Accelerator to flesh out this idea, right? Can you tell us about that process? I mean, you're not a coder yourself. How did you go about finding technical co-founders and then putting together the whole application and getting accepted? Yeah.
Sure. So we were talking about a transition in like 2010, I would say, is when I started to move to China sales and marketing rather than sourcing. And I had been doing a lot of consulting projects, helping companies do their social media in China. And I went through the real transition again into this new venture was I went to Shanghai and I attended a Lean Startup Machine weekend, which is similar to a startup weekend. And in that weekend, I met technical people that were interested in my project. Actually, I didn't just meet them there. I had already known them, but we went through the weekend together. I met China Accelerator as a sponsor and a mentor in Shanghai, and they were really helpful. Specifically, I was Todd Embley. He's actually a Canadian. And, I think they saw my passion and the team that was building. And while we didn't have prizes from that weekend, I think people really were impressed what we had accomplished in just the weekend. And it continued to grow. And I think I've talked about this a lot. I think the important part about team building, and everybody's always looking for technical co-founders, is not just looking for somebody like to be a free programmer, right? It's the purpose of a technical co-founder is a person that understands technology and invests in your project. They believe you have to sell your idea to your team. It's not just to get investors and not just to get customers, but to sell your idea to your team members and convince them that this project is worth them working on. And also, they believe that you as the marketing or the sales co-founder or the business co-founder is able to execute on your side. I think a lot of times what everybody says, if I'm not technical, I'm marketing, right? But actually a lot of people aren't good at marketing either. They're just not technical, but they're not marketing, right? So you also have to prove to your technical team that you're able to execute on the marketing and sales. So I think that's how I've been able to do it. And then going through China Accelerator,
right. What would you say was the most valuable thing that you got out of the China Accelerator program?
I think the networking and the mentors. I mean, I've been in China, like I said, now 6 years, but when I joined there 5.5 years. So I'd already known a decent amount of people in China. But by being in that program kind of just, I would say, maybe differentiated myself as a opportunist to an entrepreneur. You know, when I meet people and I say I was in China Accelerator, that means I'm doing one thing and I'm focused on one thing. That helped me to also team build with mentors and grow my advisors to my startup and make it official. I think that would be my biggest takeaway from China Accelerator was I made it an official startup and a focused startup with a good group of mentors that support the team.
Right. So now you are the marketing on Chinese social media guy, and your startup is the we want to market on Chinese social media startup, right? Is there anything in terms of early traction that you want to share with us? You know, someone using the tool or someone finding great opportunities?
Sure. So, you know, as I said earlier, I'm really trying to be lean, and everybody always talks about startups being scalable, right? And I think the biggest thing you can do is almost not be scalable at the beginning, which sounds a little bit crazy, but I'm working with the core group of first users that are, you know, I would say patient, because as a tech startup, there's always a lot to be desired in our feature set. So we work with about 10 clients right now. They're in different industries. I would say it's more for a B2B tool. So we're working with a real estate company in New York City. I can't disclose client names, but he's working with a Chinese sales. He's only been to Hong Kong. He's never been to mainland China. And he actually now has an agency in Beijing reselling his properties. He has scheduled calls with the Shanghai buyer for one of their New York properties. And he has engaged with a few other potential buyers. And this is only 1 month. Honestly, like while we went through China Accelerator, it's 8 months now since we started in August. The product development has been very, very difficult to do a software product. So, I mean, we've only been really live for 1 to 2 months to validate the business. And as one client, we're working with others that are in educational consulting. Again, this is a trust issue. So we help build trust with Chinese consumers to foreign sellers. They don't know these companies in the U.S. They don't trust them. So again, we're scheduling phone calls with the Washington, D.C. educational consultant to help students in China go to the U.S. And he's been happy. We're working with other clients in New Zealand that are helping track imported milk powder to ensure that the quality of the milk powder is what it really is meant to be. And they've been getting a lot of surveys and feedback from the Chinese market, and they're happy.
Cool. To have a better understanding of the real potential here, maybe we can get you as the Chinese social media expert to give us a quick lay of the land of Chinese social media. What's out there, and you know, what are the main channels and the main networks?
I think everybody in the West, you know, says there's a copied Twitter, there's a copied Facebook, now there's maybe the copied WhatsApp. So maybe we can talk about it in that fashion. I don't think they're exact copies, they are more localized versions. Maybe I'm not gonna get political, but I think those that are aware of Chinese market should be aware that Facebook and Twitter and most Western social media networks are not accessible in the Chinese internet, which then creates these newer local versions. Still think the biggest network to pay attention to is Sina Weibo. And Sina Weibo is basically the market leader of Twitter. And in China, with 350 million active users. So, you know, just the size there, that's bigger than the population of the United States of America, right? So that's the Chinese Twitter is Weibo. And then another big player coming quickly into the market is WeChat, or Weixin in Chinese. I think the easiest way to explain this is the WhatsApp, which is micro messaging. So it allows you to send messages to your friends, but they're hybrids, they're becoming social networks. So imagine WhatsApp with sharing to your wall on WhatsApp, and all your WhatsApp friends can see what you're, you know, what you're doing. Your status messages is like Facebook. So it's kind of mashing up Facebook into WhatsApp. Also, going back to Sina Weibo, that's kind of a mashup of Facebook and Twitter together, because it's the nature of it. Basically, Chinese social media kind of learns from English social media and sees what's effective and not, and they usually mash it up, and it's pretty cool. And Chinese people really do use social media more than I would say in the West. I'm pretty active also on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, but there's not really a LinkedIn in China. I would argue Sina Weibo is kind of the LinkedIn of China, because you have your public profiles. And business professionals, white-collar people, all use Sina Weibo, and they have verification. So I know they have the verification in Twitter as well, but it's more widespread in China. And for those familiar with the Chinese market, trust is kind of one of the biggest issues, is people don't trust others easily. And by social media getting so widespread in China, their verification process proves the people are who they say they are. They work for the company that they say they work for. So this allows the information flow and the trust to go quicker between people and businesses. So those are the main two I would talk about. RenRen is kind of a little bit not as popular now. That's like the pure copy of Facebook and Caixin. But I would really just say the main two to really focus on for entrepreneurs or small businesses would be Sina Weibo and WeChat or Weixin.
And do you think QQ's on the downslope? Because I know Weixin is by the same company, right? Tencent.
Yeah.
And it just came out of, I guess, in the past 1 or 2 years, and it's up to like 300 million users. It just exploded. But within the same company, they also run QQ, which is the Chinese copy of ICQ back in the day. And they have a mobile version as well.
Yeah. So I think, you know, you and I are familiar. Tencent is the parent company of QQ and WeChat. So I think they're pretty smart. They are kind of, in a way, competing with themselves by creating a WeChat that maybe would compete with QQ. QQ is still much more widespread, of course, because WeChat is only for smartphone users. So you're limiting your users to people that have smartphones. And in China, of course, like in the big cities, pretty much everybody has a smartphone, like Android or iPhone now. But in inland China, like second tier cities or you know, rural areas, everybody has QQ. So I don't think QQ is going away. But you know, I think Tencent as a parent company of the two products is smart by not allowing a new player to create the WeChat and beat them. So they're creating the smartphone QQ. QQ is okay on the phone now. I have QQ on my phone, but it's not really built for mobile, kind of like a patched together mobile version, whereas Weixin is, or WeChat is built for your phone. So I think they're smart, and maybe in the future they'll merge the two. But you know, I think they're pretty clever. They're really known for integrating all their products, so they cross market all of their products.
Interesting. You also mentioned that, you know, the Chinese consumers use more of social media, and maybe they use it a little bit differently. Can you talk about some of the differences that you observe between Chinese social media and the West?
I think the biggest difference is in Twitter and Facebook. There's, again, I'm almost getting a little bit removed from the American market or the Western market, but as far as I understand, the quote-unquote older people or the business people don't really use it. They still look at Twitter and Facebook as like kids stuff. The same happened with instant messaging. Like, we're talking about QQ. Everybody in China has a QQ, and that was since maybe the 90s or at least early 2000s, whereas in the US, Skype and other tools are not really, instant messaging tools are still looked at as like kids stuff, I think, for the most part, unless you're doing international business. So the biggest difference is that everybody uses it in China, like older established businessmen I can talk to on social media. They have QQ. I talk to a 50 or 60 year old businessman, investors, CEOs, they all have it. I mean, maybe you can contend that they have a LinkedIn, but I just, for some reason, noticed that the Chinese business community embraces social media much faster and they really utilize it more. Whereas CEOs and bosses and businessmen and investors in the US are still like slower to use these Twitter and Facebook and maybe even LinkedIn in their networking.
Do you have any examples or any case studies of a few companies or a few people who are really winning and doing it right on Chinese social media?
I mean, it's an obvious one to me, but maybe for the people listening on the call, I think Weibo and Li Kaifu or Kaifu Li, depending on if you're saying the English version or the Chinese version, he's the ex-Google China CEO, and he is the definition, I think, of the right way to use social media. For those that don't know him, he's currently the CEO of Incubator Innovation Works in Beijing. He barely even uses Weibo as a company account. They have it more for HR or for applications, but he really uses his personal brand. And he is posting like all day messages. He really builds a good huge following that drives traffic and applications to his program. He would be one example of a really good person using it. You know, like a lot of these programs, the reason I find out about these Chinese incubators and events is from social media in China. They all have accounts. They're usually always verified. I'm trying to think here of some specific examples, but I guess it's like I said earlier, it's like the LinkedIn. So you can search inside of Weibo and find pretty much everybody that's anybody. Usually they're pretty responsive to. So by messaging them on the system itself, they're pretty responsive to get back to you. So it's a pretty instantaneous, and also it's used for company updates. Like another really interesting example was we were not sure if someone was who they said they were. Their name card said they were a CEO of a company, and they were trying to do business with us. And for some reason, our team didn't have a feeling that they really were. So we went to the verified account of that company and asked them. And within 15 minutes, they replied, no, he's not, and this is the right person. And they called us.
Oh, so, boy. That's business in China for you.
Yeah, that is. And it's a sad thing about business in China, but I think this is creating real transparency. That's a real positive effect of social media in China, is that there's this transparency and there's no more of this shady business of multiple name cards and kind of deceiving. That's why there's this mistrust in the market, because there's so many people and there was no really like a social security system to track. And now like your ID number is your like Weibo number, you know, like now people can check that and see who you are. So it's really kind of hard to cheat and deceive with this new social media.
That's an awesome example. So going on from that, I'm thinking, you know, I'm a lone entrepreneur. I'm interested in profit. I'm pretty tech savvy. You know, I can get on the Chinese social media. You know, what are the real biggest opportunities? What are the actions that I should take in order to get most out of it?
So the hardest part, of course, is the language. And also in China, because of what we were just saying, the deceiving of people saying they're not who they are, there is some extra steps in getting verified. But I think, you know, for an entrepreneur, is signing up for Weibo.com. They do have an okay English version, and creating an account, and being personable. Just like in Twitter or Facebook, I think more effective accounts are personal accounts, but I think even more so in China. So don't be afraid to put your own face. They actually like foreigners. They like to talk to foreigners, foreigners being non-Chinese. I would say put your real photo, put your real name, try to get verified, and don't be afraid to ask. You know, even I'm a little bit embarrassed, but I still don't read and write Chinese characters. I can talk to most of them in English. While they might not post in English, usually they can talk to you in English. You know, I think just by getting on there, you could have a Chinese assistant that could find people on Weibo that you're looking for. So say you're selling, you want to sell headsets to the Chinese market. You could find those potential people, add them to a list, engage with them, ask them questions, maybe survey them, or just by learning from your potential customers, potential distributors. And I think you would be surprised at how friendly and engaging people would be to help you, especially as a foreigner. You know, a lot of people think Chinese are, I guess everybody's scared of another market, right? Like Chinese, I think, are scared of Americans. Americans are scared of China. Not scared, but, you know, there's this hesitation of cultural differences. But normally when the personal conversations happen, it makes people more real. And that's, again, why I would suggest to use your own face rather than a company logo. Because I think everywhere, but especially Chinese, they like face. They like to trust, know who they're dealing with. So create an account and just find the potential people and just talk to them. Don't sell, like just like in Twitter or Facebook, you don't just try to push people to buy your product. You talk to them, see if that's what they like, how they can cooperate, things like that.
Yeah, I've heard it described one way before, and I thought it was pretty accurate. It's like social media is kind of like a cocktail party, right? If you just show up and sell, then nobody wants to talk to you.
True. Yep. Yeah, it's about building relationships, right?
Great. Yeah, thanks for the great overview and some real examples of how you use Chinese social media. So we're going to wrap up the interview and want to give you a chance to give Social Agent a full plug.
Okay.
And also give us a way how we can connect with you.
Okay, sure. My elevator pitch for Social Agent is an online tool to help companies find, track, manage, and report on customers in the Chinese market. So in English, that means we find customers, and then in our CRM tool, allow you to keep that lead list, just like instead of an Excel spreadsheet, you have an online tool, and you can share those to your maybe Chinese assistant or your partner team and measure the results. Because I think a lot of people said in Chinese social media, there is a lot of maybe zombie accounts and kind of like spam. So we try to filter that spam and find the real value. And the way to contact me is, you know, of course, you can talk to me on Chinese social media or English social media. I love all social media. So my handles are Michelini, my last name, Michelini. So at Michelini is Twitter and Weibo. Those are my two preferred ways.
Okay, perfect. And we'll link up to that in the show notes as well.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Michael.
Hope you've enjoyed this episode of China Business Cast. For more about the program and to join the conversation online, check out ChinaBusinessCast.com. Thank you for listening.